know how I got number 30 because I'm just insanely low.
No.
No, okay. This is the question I've been asking all weekend. And you can tell I'm killing time trying to still fix my screen resolution. But anyway.
Okay, does Pork Chop know? How were numbers assigned? Okay. For the speaker number. We're killing time until the laptop gets fixed.
I don't know. It's not liking it. Whatever.
You want to take it?
Yes.
All right.
Anyway, I get to see my presentation. You just don't. Ha ha. So anyway, welcome to Phone Freaking 101, or what's the other one I like to call it, is everything you want to know about phone freaking but were afraid to ask or don't know to ask in the first place. So anyway, let's first get something out of the way. What is phone freaking? Now, how many people here think phone freaking is free phone calls? Raise your hand. Oh, good. All right. I've had like two or three people, like when I say, oh, I'm doing a presentation on phone freaking. Oh, you're getting free phone calls? No. Freaking is to phones is what, you know, hacking is to computers. It's exploration of a system. It's messing around. It's harmless fun. It's stupid phone tricks. And it's essentially a side product of that is learning about the phone network. The free phone call part, yes, you know, occasionally we do get free phone calls. But it's a side effect of exploration, and it's really... Back in the 60s, it became more of a thing when, you know, calling Hawaii for 10 minutes used to cost you an arm and a leg and your firstborn all in one thing. But in today's, with today's rates and today's market, it's not necessary anymore. Next off, who the hell am I? I've been messing around with phones since I was about 11 or so. I call myself just another phone freak from Boston because there was a lot of people there already when I finally decided to get back into it. I don't work for the phone company. I'm not involved in telecommunications at all. All this stuff isn't, you know, super 31337 insider infos, and whatever you do, don't take my word as gospel and find this stuff out yourself. And if you ever want to talk to this guy named Logic, I'm a full of myself, stuck-up, arrogant prick who enjoys fame more than learning something, with nothing to share with it for except a list of fucking payphones. And in case you want to see my list of payphones, yapl.org, Y-A-P-L. In order to start, we got to start at the beginning, so we're going to do the history of the phone part one. In 1876, the phone was invented. Depending on who you talk to, it was either Meucci or Bell stole it from Meucci, or, you know, mugged us on the way to the patent office, or I don't know. I go by, you know, Bell invented it, that's what history says. I'm not into rewriting the whole thing. In 1891, a man named Alman Stroger, he was an undertaker, yes, that was it. And he was thinking that he was losing business because people would call up the operator, in case you don't know how the phone worked then. You'd pick up your receiver, an operator would say, number please, or you'd say, you know, or connect me to, you know, so-and-so. And they'd take your little wire and plug you in, the other phone would ring. So Stroger was convinced that the operator was saying, oh, you know, someone calls him up, oh, my uncle died, I need an undertaker. He was convinced that the operator would route him to one of his competitors. So he sat down and designed an automatic exchange where you would dial the numbers and it would connect you automatically. This was the basis of the telephone network. And actually, he sold it to the predecessor of GTE, the manufacturing arm, and they sat on it for a while and they had no clue what to do with it. And they thought it would never caught on because who the heck would want to dial their own phone numbers? But it eventually was installed in 1891. I believe it was somewhere in Indiana. I didn't write that down. In 1921, Bell consolidated all of his companies, and the Bell System was formed, which we all know and love. And it would continue up till 1984, but more on that later. In 1953, a major revolution came about because even though you could dial your own local numbers, it was still impossible to connect to long distance. There were such things as area codes, but you were never actually aware of them. You'd call up your operator and say, I'd like to make a long-distance call to, you know, San Francisco, California. She'd connect you, and the process would continue. 1953, they actually introduced telephones, area codes, and you could be able to dial your own long-distance telephone number. In 1964, a very important article was released in the Bell Technical Journal that listed the, 12 master tones that controlled the long-distance network. And they completely did not completely missed this, and they didn't think this would be of interest to anybody, but very, engineers said, oh, geez, I can control the telephone network with these tones, so let's go build these wonderful little boxes. And the blue box was born. Now, how many people here know why they call it a blue box? Okay, and we have one person, so I'll tell you. I'm sorry, I'm not taking questions and answers yet. Haha. Bell System Security, I believe, was in the University of Oregon, found one of these little boxes, and they didn't actually give it a name yet. And hold on. Tony's Pizza.
Yes, hi. I wonder if you could help me, please. Basically, we need to know who does the press relations for the Hackers Convention, please.
Hold on for one moment. Do we know this? Hold on, we're consulting the audience.
Thank you.
Are you going to see it or not? Is this going to... Is that it? Are you still connected?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, no, it's... All right, how about disconnecting the audio side? It would... Okay, we're trying to figure it out. You actually called one of the conference in progress. Yes. We don't have the number right here. We're trying to find someone. So, do you have a security number?
Send an email.
Or anti-security in our case. We're busy screwing around. Could you hold on for a while? We can put you on hold, and you can listen to my talk. Okay. Oh, hold on. We have a phone number. We have a great movie. His phone number is 907-347. 9575. That's a little number. No, it's 907. That is it? Yes. Okay, bye-bye.
We don't really
want to
lose press.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That makes sense. Sorry. Okay. All right. Where was I? Okay. So the blue box was, it was blue, so they named it the blue box. They're very original. They're a bunch of security guards. What do you want? In 1965, the all switching systems up to this time were electrical mechanical, meaning they had large moving parts and there was all kinds of things, and it was all controlled by DC pulses and electricity and 48 volts. In 1965, the first computer-controlled electronic switch was developed in Successana, New Jersey. It's the number one ESS, electronic switching system. In 1971, Ron Rosenbaum wrote an article for a Esquire magazine called The Secrets of the Little Blue Box. And if you haven't read this, you should read it. It's just a fun article in general. I have it saved on my hard drive, actually, and it's always fun to pop it up when I'm bored. And this really put freaking into the mainstream. Everyone suddenly said, whoa, I can get free phone calls. And there was Bell decided to look at this and say, ooh, this is bad. We should start arresting these people. And which was started off as a minor annoyance, actually mushroomed into a major toll fraud escapade. So they actually started cracking down on everything, and certain people went to jail. Yes, one of which is right here. Stand up. Oh, I don't think anyone. I don't think
so. Yeah.
Yes. For those of you who didn't actually hear the whole thing, one of the major problems was there was a telex test circuit in Vancouver?
Yeah.
Vancouver. 604-2111, and it was only dialable via blue boxes. And it was going to be cut over from single frequency, which was 2,600 pulses, to MF, which is what controlled the blue box. And everyone decided to get on, and everyone kind of noticed it and said, ooh, why are all these people testing the telex circuit? No one's supposed to be on here. And so they actually, that's the other thing that kind of let everything. He traced everybody back. It's a big thing.
Within 2 weeks, they formed a grand jury investigation in 18 cities.
Wow, they're quick. Yeah, 2 weeks, they formed a grand jury investigation. In 1984, Bell was broken up by the federal government, and they wrote it into... Oh, come on. Bell was a very romantic thing, and we're moving back to it. I'm a telephone guy. I find you know, telephone systems romantic. It was broken up... Much to the chagrin of my wife. It was broken up into 7 regional Bell operating companies. And I actually have this beautiful map right here, but none of you can see it or read the labels, which I hand-drawn myself. But, so it was broken up into 7 companies. There was actually 2 quasi-companies, Cincinnati Bell and Southern New England Telephone Company, which was Connecticut. And they were not owned completely by the Bell system, so they're sort of their own independent thing back in 1984. So everything puttered along till about 1997 when there was an orgy of acquisition. I always wanted to say that. In 1997, Southwestern Bell Corporation, otherwise known as SBC, buys Pacific Telesis, which was in charge of California and Nevada. You would actually see this if I had my map up. But in 1997 also... 9X and Bell Atlantic merged and became Bell Atlantic, very original. Then SBC goes on a buying rampage, and SBC buys Southern New England Telephone in 1998, and 1999 buys Ameritech, which was the Midwestern, Upper Peninsula, Illinois, and all that stuff. In 2000, Qwest was I believe they were a fiber optic company, and they had lots of money due to the dot-com boom, and they said, hey, let's go buy a telephone company, and initiated a hostile takeover of U.S. West, which was a really bad thing, because U.S. West really was a good telephone company, and they were the first to roll out caller ID and DSL and a lot of stuff, and Qwest is now in the hole for about an obscene amount of money and is teetering on bankruptcy. Also in 2000, Bell Atlantic buys GTE. GTE was the largest independent in the United States. They really didn't have a general area where they served. They're all over the place, and they bought a lot of small companies back even in the 1960s when Bell was around. So Bell Atlantic bought them and became Verizon, which is Truth and Veritas and Horizon, and some marketing major was paid lots of money to figure that out. In 2002, I can't remember when the FCC made their declaration that electrical mechanical switches had to go. I don't remember the exact year. But in 2002, the last electrical mechanical switch was a small step in a small town called Nantes-Quebec, was retired. Nantes-Quebec. It's Quebec. It's French. They don't pronounce every letter. N-A-N-T-E-S. You'd be able to see this if I had my thing. In 2005, you probably all remember this, SBC buys AT&T. And Verizon also buys MCI because they don't want to be caught with their pants down. And so SBC is now known as AT&T, or as I like to call them, SBC&T. In 2006, AT&T, they announced it a while ago, but the shareholders just approved it yesterday. SBC, or AT&T in this case, buys Bell South. So now they're known as SBC&T South. And also in 2006, I give this presentation. Yes. And then what happened? I have a prediction. Right now there are 3 major telephone companies left. There's Verizon, which is 9X, Bell Atlantic, and GTE, which is all over the place in little pockets. Qwest, which is essentially the Midwest, the mountains, well, not the Midwest, the mountain states, all the way over to Minnesota and all the way over to Washington. And then there's SBC, which is everything else. You can see my little map again, which I did by hand, but you know, you can see it. Actually, I can probably disconnect this and turn it around when I need to. Leave it in, just in case. Oh, okay. Oh, where's the technical support people are working around the clock. So anyway, like I said, there's 3 remaining baby bells. There's Qwest, which is U.S. West, AT&T, which is Southwestern Bell Corporation, Pacific Telesis, Ameritech, and Bell South, and Verizon, which is Bell Atlantic, 9X, and GTE. There's a dwindling number of independent, what they call ILEX, which is Independent Local Exchange Carriers, which was... a term formed in 1996 when they released the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which is a complete bullshit. But they're slowly being gobbled up by the big people or just being folded. There's now also something called CLECs, which are competitive local exchange carriers. And if you ever want to set up a telephone company, this is what you do. Anyone can be a CLEC. I've seen CLECs that are power companies, CLECs which are cable companies, CLECs which are just bloody everything. My parents have phone from Comcast. It is the worst thing ever. They say, oh yeah, we're a phone company. What they are is a VoIP company. And for those of you who don't know VoIP, voice over IP. They can only use one phone at the same time, or else the audio drops down to nothing. And this is essentially what CLECs are. They are fly-by-night companies, for the most part. There's a couple of good ones. Try again? Okay. Nope. Blue screen of death, no. Essentially, what I think it could be me, so just, I'll just read it, so just forget about it. Anyway, what was now phones is now this wonderful thing called telecommunications. And everything is telecommunications. It's your new wave of thing, and it sounds good on market reports and for the stock market people. Anyway, so phones 101, and I have this wonderful graphic of showing you how a phone call goes through. It's kind of an... What? I have a laptop, but it's not going up to the projector. Slides will be on the internet. I just don't have it right now. Because I thought this would work. I'm terribly sorry. It's the resolution. The resolution is... No. Anyway, for those of you who don't see this. Anyway, so say, for example, we are going to call a number in... Are we discussing everything still? Say, for example, we are calling a phone number in California, which is one of my friend Strom Carlson's favorite number, Gladstone for Fish. It's a fish restaurant, and their phone number back in the day was GL4FISH. So I pick up this phone, and actually this is kind of wrong. I always hate dialing with words. I'm a numbers person. What can I say? Okay, so here's what happened in that short amount of time. Hey, I'm not going to talk to them. I don't even want to say. Yeah, it's 9 a.m. over there. They're all sleeping. Anyway, so what happened was this phone actually went through a small PBX, probably at the Hotel Pennsylvania, which is connected to a number 5 electronic switching system. In the address, I forget, somewhere in the general vicinity, 38th and 7th, somewhere between 7th and 8th. You can go down there and check it out yourself. That was connected probably, likely, to AT&T, which has a large building downtown. Yes, Wall Street. Anyway, that was probably connected via, we were connected to the switch probably by a T1 or a couple or more than a few T1s because this is a rather large hotel. The 5ESS was probably connected to AT&T probably by either an OC 96 or I don't know, what would I have written down here? Probably an OC 12 or an OC 3. The number 4 ESS, which is what AT&T downtown has a link probably directly to Los Angeles because it's a major switching destination, which is probably OC 96. Which adds another number 4 ESS located in downtown Los Angeles, also owned by AT&T. Now, from there, they probably connected to another number 5 ESS, because AT&T likes 5 ESSs because they made them, which was a local routing destination, at which point the 5 ESS connected to a Verizon switch, which is a GTT5, which was connected directly to GL4FISH, and their phone rang. And that was a bunch of data packets. And could someone wake him up? Oh, hello. Yeah, I called him out. I love you. it was probably connected to a smart copper, and the phone rang. Now, all of this used to be done by in-band signaling, which was all kinds of beeps and switches, everything. But essentially, what this is right now is a giant data network. Just all optical carrier and digital carrier, which was a bunch of flying packets called, which is part of the Signaling System 7. And there's one called an IAM, which is initial action message, which flies across and connects everything up. So that happens all in a split second. Now we're talking about 5 ESSs and 4 ESSs and 1 ESSs. A number one or a number one A ESS is of everything. All of these with ESSs were made by Lucent, which was formerly Western Electric. A one ESS or a one A ESS is the last electrical mechanical switch there. It's technically got out of the FCC jaws of death because it was computer controlled, and that's what they focused on. There's only a few left, mainly if you're from Chicago and you go down to your more scary areas, as Strom put it, you can still hear it, and you can hear all kinds of nice clicks and clunks when you call somebody. As opposed to an electronic system like a number five, which is just very subtle. I mean, because there's no switches being clicked back and forth. A number four ESS is the backbone of AT&T's telephone network. All their long-distance switches are number four ESSs. Actually, they used to be just for long distance, but ever since they kind of started poking into, before the SBC merger, they started poking into local areas and actually started running dial tones off of them. I don't know, actually, to be completely honest with you. Either four-wire or two-wire. That's the only two options. Yes. Number five ESS is exactly only for end office use. They occasionally put ones for switching here and there, but it's mostly they serve your dial tone. So when you pick it up, you're on a number five ESS. If you pick it up, you're probably on a number five ESS if you have AT&T or a lot of the older equipment. GTE, which was now Verizon, they have a manufacturing arm named Automatic Electric, and they developed a digital switch called the GTD5. And it's for end office use only, no toll capabilities whatsoever for tandeming. And it's a very, it's a weird switch. It does all kinds of odd things. Like, for example, if you ever spoof caller ID, you can actually set your name and the GTD5 trust it blindly. It doesn't actually look up who's calling and who officially is assigned the number. So I could send, you know, anything saying, you know, Bart Simpson calling from the White House, and it'll blindly trust it. Nortel, which is Northern Telecom, which is our Canadian company, they make a lot of switches that I believe Verizon is trying to move a lot to. There's a DMS 500, which Verizon really doesn't use. A lot of CLECs are purchasing it. It does tandem end officing. It does long distance. It does something called UPnP, which is allowing other phone companies to sit off your switch, and you know you can charge them for that. It's part of the Telecommunications Act back then when you had to have all these CLECs. It does everything except your dishes. DMS 200, which is mostly for tandeming use. Occasionally you see it in end offices as well for large communities. DMS 200 use something called TOPS, which is a Toll Operating Positioning System, which is operator positions. And that's one of the that's the only currently manufactured solution for operators right now. DMS 100 is an end office switch only. It's what controls your dial tone. Also, there's something called smaller, which is a DMS 10, which is for, you know, Podunk, Arizona, who only has about 500 customers but wants to really have a new switch. If you ever want to make your own phone company and you have, you know, $500,000, that's the switch for you. We'll skip that because that's just a table and you need to see that. Basically, it's just all kinds of switches and various numbers. If you ever want to see how many, if you ever want to blow your mind to see how many voice conversations an OC96 can handle, just look it up. It's like OC96 will carry, OC48 will carry 32,256 simultaneous voice conversations, which, and OC768, when you start talking about major backbones, carries all the way up to 516,000 conversations all at once simultaneously. So anyway, now that we're talked about all the telephone network and I bored you self silly, let's go talk about phone phreaking. Yay! So first, let's talk about our friend, the operator. It's function F8 for me. But oh, wait, I'm not connected. Am I?
No, I just connected my headphones.
This isn't a kill time. Whatever. Thanks a lot. Our friend, the operator. Something called op-diverting, which essentially I got excited there for a second. Yeah, it's function F8. I know how to... apparently, it's probably because it's Linux. Linux sucks. No. Yeah, I just said it, didn't I? Anyway, so there's something called opdiverting, which is essentially calling the operator and getting to dial a number for you. And what that does is it looks like the phone call is coming from them, which blocks your caller ID and adds another step for if someone wants to try to trace it back. And also usually blocks something called calling party number, which is something more down in the actual signaling network. Basically a super caller ID and a way to do it. There's two ways. There's one way of doing it, which is basically saying, I'm special, or I'm blind, or you actually can sometimes say, I'm deaf, and they're like, oh, I'll dial that number for you. Another easy way is just give them a sob story saying, I called them up one day and actually said, oh, I'm having trouble dialing an 800 number. The 8 button is stuck on this payphone. And she said, oh, okay, let me dial that for you, no problem. And it went right through and blocked my caller ID. It's a nice basic way of just practicing your social engineering. They can also route you to the carrier of your choice. Just call them up and say, hey, I'd like to use, Joe Blow, long distance company, and they will route you to it because that's what they have to do according to federal law. Some coin phones, namely Verizon, I think also SBC does it, blocks local operators. If you press 0, it'll die for Verizon at least. I'm not sure what SBC and T South does. Actually dials a number in Texas. They cannot do all of this wonderful stuff to you, so you have to bypass the firmware somewhere. There's a couple of ways of doing this, one of which is trying to block your caller ID on a payphone, which actually some switches do. I believe, Royal, are you here? Royal! Royal's going to write an article on this at some point and tell you all the wonderful things. He did a lot of research for him, and he's a really nice guy. Every switch, every place in the United States, when you have a telephone there, you have something called a central office. Every wire in your exchange, basically every phone, usually terminates in this office, sort of. This way is of multiplexing it, and there's some type of there's fiber optics things if you're really out in the boondocks. Your switch is located here. It's a little building. It has your phone company logo on it. It's usually downtown if you're in a small town, or it's just plopped out somewhere in your neighborhood. It's very hard to get in. Thank you, 9/11. The best way is just ask. Some way you can just go in and say, hey, I'm thinking about becoming a phone company person. Can I see what you guys do? And they'll say, oh, sure. One of my friends actually did this, and he got to see the switch. Unfortunately, he got a large complaint about the union. So, everyone has to pay their pound of flesh. They're usually not manned like they once were. Back in the day, they used to be manned 24/7 because electromechanical things break. Right now, they're usually manned probably maybe 9 to 5, possibly slightly longer. I actually saw one of my switches. I was sitting out front, and the shift ended, and everyone just went whoosh out. So it was probably completely manned at that point, judging from the cars in the parking lot. Confs, party lines, and bridges. There's conference calls, and that's basically where everyone joins up. You're all talking to each other. You probably have, for those of you who might have worked, you might have participated in one of these. Freaks have them all the time. For regular folks, there's a couple of free services that do it, and you have to sometimes listen to an ad. There's Mr. Conference. There's something called Talkie Party Lines. And there's also a couple other free services. Just ask around or look in your... Actually, I've seen a couple of them in my yellow pages. There's actually a couple of them that are freak-friendly, one of which is currently not working, Bell's Mind, because there's a rather dispute with his VoIP company. I think he was banned for life. However, there's a wonderful project called Telefreak, which is telefreak.org, and they have their own voice bridge, and there's usually a lot of people on there in the wee hours of the morning. You can also make your own if you have Asterisk and you have some know-how. It's a module called Meet Me. You can set up, you can control it, you can ban certain people, kick people off the bridge all through your telephone. There's also a couple of programs out there that will give you a nice little web page, see where everyone's calling from, boot them, ban them, all through the comfort of your own home. Something that I like to do that I put in the conversation is called recording your own line. Now, recording your own line sounds kind of stupid, and you probably are thinking, why does he want to record his own line? It'll cuss all our illegal activities. But we don't do that here, do we? why I like to record my line, I like to make recordings for preservation because you never really know when things are going to change. I got really pissed off one day when I heard on the morning news that Verizon changed their 411 system, and all the recordings that I used to know for that were there for like 10 years or so were completely abbreviated into this wonderful interactive voice response thing done by Tell Me, thank you. And it's a nice system, but I completely missed the old one because it had Pat Fleet on there, which was one of the people you usually hear when you're called did not go through. Please try again. You never really know when this is going to happen, and it's always fun to, you know, just tell people if you're going to record them when you're on a conf or something, or record them separately. It's up to you. I wouldn't recommend making every record every call you make, because, you know, who wants to do that? Wiretapping laws. You are wiretapping, believe it or not. Federal laws only require one person to know. However, your state laws, say, like Massachusetts, require both parties to know on the conversation. So if you're recording, if you're recording over state lines, you know, you might come under federal jurisdiction, but who really knows at this point? There's a couple of ways of picking up, recording your line. There's something called an induction pickup coil, which is made by Radio Shack. They say put it on the back of the phone handset and you'll record everything. You really can't do that. You're going to sound like crap. What you need to do is you need to cram it up to the receiver, which is the part where you put your ear. It's really good for dynamics and sound quality. However, it's really annoying holding that there for an extended period of time, and you can't use it near your computer or monitor because it picks up every little bit of RF noise. There's something called an inline line recorder, which goes between your handset and your telephone. It's very easy to use. It has a little worse dynamics, and it's not as good as a recorder. I'm sorry, it's not good as an induction pickup coil. And finally, there's something called an inline recorder, which in telephone line recorder, which goes between your phone and the wall. It's very easy to use, however, it sucks. Yeah. Yeah, well, you still have the suction cup, and you can pop it on the back. However, the problem is that it sucks. You need to cram it up against the receiver. The suction cup is there, and that's how they tell you to use it, but disregard it and use it your own way. There's something called silly codes, which stands for Common Language Identifier, and identifies almost every piece of equipment on the telephone network. There's switches, some customer premise equipment, cell phone towers, routers. If you actually do a trace route of Verizon, sometimes you'll see one as a router name or something. Everything, they're very cryptic. Like, for example, there's one, my next door town back when I was living in Boston was called Lynn, Massachusetts. And this thing is called LynnMachDS1. Now, if you look at that, it looks like a bunch of alphabet soup. However, it does follow a very thing. LYNN, Lynn, MA, Massachusetts. CH is actually a building identifier, which in this case is City Hall Square. And DS1 actually does not stand for Digital Switch 1. It stands for Digital Switch 2 because they began counting at zero, like sane people. There's also another one in Boston called BSTN MABEDS0, which BSTN Boston, MA Massachusetts, BE Belvedere Street, DS0 Digital Switch 1. There's also a couple other equipment codes. There's a number MD, which is usually a cell phone switch, RS number, which stands for remote switch, which is sort of like a mini switch that has to be connected to a full-fledged switch in order to work. CG, which is usually an electrical mechanical, like a 1A or a 1 or a 1A ESS. It would be CG0. MG, which is crossbar, which was an old mechanical system, which is no longer in use, except in some foreign countries. And also sometimes you'll see, number T, which stands for tandem, like, for example, LWRNMACA03T, which is Lawrence Mass Canal Street, tandem number 3. Which is a long-distance local toll tandem in Lawrence, Massachusetts. However, there's always comes kinds of strange things like BSTN MAHA936, which is the local weather number in Boston. And then there's also another fun thing is they didn't actually plan to have this many telephone pieces of equipment on the telephone network. So Boston is also BSTN and BSTO because they increased the N by 1. So, for example, Nextel has a switch BSTO-MA-R16MD. So, just keep that in mind if you're looking for your local telephone switch. So, VoIP. VoIP is the next big thing coming. Well, it's already here. Everyone's sort of lusting over this if you're a telephone company. There's voice over internet protocol, multimedia over internet protocol, TV over internet protocol, you know, protocols over internet protocol. VoIP, no matter what anyone says, like Vonage, is not a telephone. Sure, it seems that way, but it really isn't. It's less reliable, it has a higher mean time between failures, and it's just different. Like, for example, 911. There was a big thing enough that the FCC had to legislate it that VoIP had to support 911 because people were dying on 911 and getting an error message. So, yeah, that would be a bit inconvenient, wouldn't it? The one thing about VoIP is that there's little overhead, therefore there is little cost. Like, for example, unlimited telephone long distance for $25 a month. However, telephone companies are catching on to this, and since they've been able to afford this for years, they just haven't told you, they're lowering their prices. Like, for example, I think Verizon has unlimited long distance to the US 48 for $35 a month. VoIP is basically essentially the same way a telephone call goes through, except you're connecting to an internet server, and that internet server probably has drops into the telephone network at some point. So, say if I were calling Gladstone again, I would call them up, it would connect out to the internet server. Depending how big my telephone, my VoIP company was, they may pop it out somewhere in, you know, maybe Arizona, where telephones are cheap, and they would only have to pay for the call between Arizona and Los Angeles. So, as opposed to having to pay for the whole way. Why is VoIP so cool? VoIP would, you know, you can basically bring your home line to your work, your school, your local drinking establishment, or Hope 2008. Hey, you can be your own telephone company. I put a presentation last year at DEF CON with Strom Carlson called Be Your Own Telephone Company with Asterisk. Asterisk is a wonderful program. You have your own soft PBX, and it's a Swiss Army knife. You can do anything you want with it. Plus, I mean, it really works around here, possibly, but, like, not, for example, if you're in the middle of nowhere. If you have one of these VoIP telephones that are wireless, you have a quasi-cell phone as long as you have coverage. And for around here, I mean, you're picking up 200 Wi-Fi access points in a short period of time. You're all set. There's four, like, major players that I know of that are pretty, you know, major. In the consumer VoIP chains, there's Vonage, which is dying a slow death. Thank God, I can't stand their commercials. Broadvoice, which is a company somewhere in Massachusetts, I believe. Reliable, and they have a telephone number to call for support. However, don't expect them to answer. They hide under their desk any type of major outage. My phone number for them haven't worked for months, and I've been trying to get a refund from them, and they're not playing ball. And like a schmuck, I keep paying them. But anyway, they have good rates. I'll pay them, whatever. No one calls me on the bloody thing. No one likes me. VoicePulse, which is a company. They're a pretty solid company. They have two things. They have a more business-orientated service, which is works well with Asterisk, and a consumer one. I used a consumer one for about a half a year. I was very satisfied with them. I just gave it up because I wasn't using them as much as I wanted, and I wanted more control. Packet 8, unreliable snakes, don't use them. For phone freaks, there's two major programs. There's Asterisk, or if you want to play with VoIP, it runs on Linux. It's asterisk.org. It's a gold standard right now. Everyone's trying to play catch-up to them. There's something on the market called SIP Express Router, which is iptel.org/SER, and Asterisk is asterisk.org. SIP Express Router is a high-performance, configurable, free SIP server, whatever the hell that is. I would hope every SIP server is configurable. A lot of the big boys use this. For example, I believe Broadvoice uses this program. You take that as you will. However, it's dependency hell. I tried to compile it via the source and, you know, run it through my GCC and just like, oh, you need to buy this program. You need to find this program. Okay. You need to grab this library. Okay. Well, this library needs this other library. And I did this for about a week and I finally just stopped. Incorrect urban legends. So, one box, two box, red box, blue box. There are only three types of boxes. There's red, there's blue, and there's black. These are not boxes. Beige, silver, blotto, every other godforsaken box there is out there. Not boxes? Surely I jest. No, I'm not kidding. Silver box. Silver box is nothing more than a 16-digit touch tone designed for Autovon, which was the military telephone network back in the day. Hell, my ham radio does this. Busy box, shorts out of line. Give me a piece of wire and I can do this for you. Beige box, taps a line. This was okay back in 1984. You didn't have eBay, so you had to make do with what you do. Go on eBay, search for lineman's handset. You'll come up with tons of stuff, and some of which are actually good deals. Blotto Box. Oh, the Blotto Box. Who came up with this? I want to smack them. Allegedly, it was originally one of those, oh, let's go fool the skiddy tricks. However, then started people saying, oh, I did this, and then started people believing them. What does it do? Blow out your area code, blow out your exchange, blow out your telephone, who knows? Doesn't work, never will. The phone system was robust enough that it could handle anything and then some. Evan Doorbell, one of the phone freaks, phonetrips.org, actually, if you listen to his 914 tape, which he just blue boxes around, he does something called juicing your line, which is exactly what Blotto Box is supposed to do. Connect your AC power line to your telephone line. The switch handled it. It basically just gave him a free ticket to the telephone network. If you have an electronic switching system, he tried this. It isolated his line as a correctly said, oh, God, there's power on this line. I better shut it down. And he had to call repair service, and hopefully they didn't ask any questions. At most, if you had a very, stupid phone company, it would cause a fire on the distribution frame, which is where all the wires go to. So it's dangerous. It's bad. It was stupid. I don't know who did. I actually did hear a story where a fire did thing from some type of. I don't know what the story is. It shouldn't be able to. No. The real boxes. A blue box, which we talked about. It's also known as an MF-er. It was used to create the master tones control long distance network. Black box was used to convince the switch that your line is still ringing, although you have it off the hook, so you wouldn't get charged. Your calling party wouldn't get charged. Doesn't work anymore. Red box is used to create ACTS tones. Blue box, you can't blue box anymore. Everyone says this. There's one place left in the United States that you can blue box. I'm not going to tell you. Figure it out yourself. Nah. It's in Alaska. I'll give you a hint. It can no longer be used for toll fraud. Hold on for one second. We'll give you that. There used to be a line in Wawina, Minnesota. However, Quest retired this last month in 6/15/2006. Thankfully, some of those places are not as high tech as the good old U.S. of A. Venezuela. If you call up Citibank Venezuela at 800-5, I actually didn't have that number correctly. I was calling 555-2368. That's not right. If you listen to Default Radio 13 or you Google Citibank Venezuela, it'll give you the phone number. Default Radio number 13, if you go to hextiles.com, they did this on the show. You can't Redbox anymore. First, didn't you read my article? It was in last month's 2600. AT&T is no longer Redboxable because they retired it in 2000. Apparently, everyone thinks that this makes everyone else immune to this. Verizon, Quest, SBC are all vulnerable to this. I used to say local tow calls only. However, I found a way to Redbox anywhere in the United States for $1.05. Well, theoretically $1.05. Off the phones in the back hallway. You dial something that would give you a real dial tone as opposed to a payphone dial tone, and it would forward you to the ATCS system, and I could call anywhere I want, and it would accept my money and merrily route my call, which technically they're not supposed to do. Captain Crunch. Everyone thinks Captain Crunch invented freaking, right? No. Yes. This is one of my pet peeves. I like Captain Crunch. He's a very nice guy. Captain Crunch is not the end-all, be-all of freaking. Joe Ingresia, Mark Brunet, Evan Doorbell, and the rest of Group Bell. Bill from New York, Al Brunet, Denny from San Jose, and there's many others. Hackers by Stephen Levy, 1962, MIT people in the MIT AI lab had their PVP-8 hooked up and blue-boxing on the telephone network. And Joe Ingresia, or Joey Bubbles, reported on Off the Hook that someone was messing around with the phones in the 1920s. Another thing is tracing takes time. Most people kind of know about this. This is no longer true thanks to the NSA. 99% of the time, you've been traced before the phone starts ringing. All they need to do is slog through the logs or call down in Fort Meade. Surprise, surprise, Hollywood did not get it right. ANAX ringbacks. Okay, this is stupid phone tricks. I'm kind of running low on time, and I don't think I'll be able to take questions, but I will try to dial a few numbers for you. ANAX ringbacks and test lines. ANAX stands for Automated Number Announcement Circuit. Basically, you call it, and it announces your number. I can't do it on this phone. It's connected to a PBX. I tried. I'm terribly sorry. Boy, we're just having nothing but technical difficulties, are we? Ringback. What it does is it ringbacks the calling circuit. It actually applies the voltage on your actual physical circuit. Doesn't matter if you have incoming service. There's no incoming service on any payphone in Boston. Any telephone in Boston, yeah, right. Any payphone in Boston. However, I can call the ring back and make it ring if it had the bell inside. Some of them don't. There are numbers. These numbers switch by work by every telephone company. If you're in New York, ANAC is either 958 or 990. Ringback is 660 plus your seven-digit phone number. No, here it's not. Oh, okay, I'm going. Yeah, 95. I know 958 works. I haven't tested 660 yet. AT&T hides disaster messages on every switch. If you dial 1 plus an area code plus 959, and usually somewhere in the 6900 to 6925 range, they play, you know, due to the mudslide in the area you are calling, your call cannot go through. Well, it's usually 9900 to 9925. Anything above 25, you usually don't find anything. Yeah, 95969XX, or XX is usually 0 to 25. Yeah. If you don't, you need to have AT&T as your long distance provider. If you don't have it, dial 1010-288 and the telephone number. None of these actually charge you. Just be careful and don't dial Hawaii. That's an actual assigned exchange. Make sure your exchange is not assigned to where you're dialing. Who's your phone company? Just dial 700-4141, and it'll say, thank you for using whatever. Who's your long-distance provider? 700-555-4141. It'll say, you know, thank you for using so-and-so for your long-distance. Some companies actually block this, and some companies assign this prefix. Somebody had a cell phone with their 700 as their exchange, and someone I knew could not dial them because their phone company blocked it. Oops. Spoofing caller ID. Basically, this is limited to asterisk and or voice over IP only, unless you have a $1,500 primary rate interface, which you probably don't. Sorry, kids. Simple scripts are available online for asterisk. You can actually do this in your asterisk dial plan. Sometimes, depending on your VoIP company, you can do either your calling party number or your charge number, which is the billing number. Gray Area talked about this in 2600, two magazines ago, I believe. Toll fraud is lame. Don't do it. The feds are not digging this. Watch a cornhole. If you're still interested, I have a bunch of websites for you. Come and talk to me, and I can show you this on thing, and you can write it down. Shouts. I'd like to send shouts out to Stankdog, Not Theory, Natus, and the rest of the DDP. Also, Strom Carlson and Decoder, who's gone but not forgotten. Boston 2600, the BinRev forums, BinRev radio every Tuesday at 9:30. I'll be doing it again. And Mrs. Ratchet, who let me come here immediately after our honeymoon. Okay, let me just dial a couple of telephone numbers for you here. I might put it up on the wiki. And actually, because I rebooted, I lost my network connection. So, okay, we can take a... go ahead and talk, Mr. Crunch, or Captain Crunch.
Okay, I got it. I'm running a Mac G4 PBX. I'm using a voice pulse for incoming and a VoIP stunt for outgoing, and I can call 18 countries for free for $11 a month. One other thing I want to point out is that on the 18th of June, a phone company in somewhere in the Midwest contacted me and invited me to use their last N1 carrier, Blue Boxable Trunk.
Well, we in Minnesota, which we're
I
about.
Gratefully declined because in California they are still illegal.
Okay. So anyway, let's go dial a couple of numbers. This is called a verification number. It actually has on a lot of New York switches have this.
Welcome to the Congress DMS 100 Central Office. Using codes 268, 267, 261, and 979. Welcome to the Congress DMS 100.
And it repeats on and on and on again. Here's another phone number. I got most of these numbers from Decoder, one of his text files. It's on Old School Freak.
Excuse me. Please deposit 5 cents for the next 2 minutes, or your call will be terminated. This is a recording.
Personally, I like I have one of these numbers, and whenever I don't want to be disturbed, I like to forward my number to it. It really blows people's minds. Let's see what else I can find. Hold on. I actually had all these written down, but when I rebooted, it did not save, so I'm terribly sorry. This has just turned into a horrible experience. While we're here, let me go dial another phone number for you. Actually, it's something called a milliwatt, so actually, no, I probably won't want to dial that here. It'll probably blow out the speakers.
We're sorry. The long-distance company access code you dialed must be preceded by the digits 950. Please hang up and try your call again.
Okay, just so everyone knows, Elvis is alive as well and is working for Verizon. I love this number.
You have reached the 77th Street DMS 100, serving codes 238-439-492. 567-630-680-745-748-833-836-921. Thank you very much. You have reached the
70. All right. I actually, because we couldn't actually dial them here, I actually have some of the AT&T messages on my laptop. I just need to find them. One, two, three. I actually don't know which one this is. This is off the LA number for ESS.
Due to the earthquake in the area you are calling, your call cannot be completed.
They probably
use
that one a lot down there.
Please try your call later. 045T.
All right, I have I have a bunch of more of these. They're all on my website, blackratchet.org. I'll probably make it so everyone can get there. Questions? I will try to put them up by immediately after this presentation, after I take questions. Terribly sorry that no one can actually see them.
All right. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, somebody in, I live in Queens, somebody at the central office that I live in showed me the central office. And
you could really get into a lot of central offices before 9/11. They were pretty friendly about it.
Drakes Bay, California has this thing called, you can't call it directly, it's a toll station.
Yeah, there's a couple of numbers like that.
There are still these days?
Oh, yeah. How about the next person?
Is there any more step switches in the United States?
No, there's no more electromechanical switches in the U.S. Next victim!
Okay. All right. If VoIP peering is, you know, such a...
I can't hear you.